أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise him and seek help from him. We ask forgiveness from him. We repent to him. And we seek refuge in him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who has been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is indeed guided. And anyone who has been misguided, you will never find a guidance for him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O Allah, let your prayer, your peace, and your blessing be upon your servant and your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and all his companions. Today's khutbah is a continuation of the Islamic economic system that we addressed in the past two khutbahs. And today, inshallah, we'll address the Islamic economic system in overcoming poverty and hunger. So let us remain truly conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through taqwa. Let us continuously obey all His orders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His endless mercy and blessing. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, which means, be sure we shall test you with something of fear and hunger, some loss in goods or lives, or the fruits of your toil, but give glad tidings to those who patiently preserve. Our taqwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be tested by Him in various aspects of our lives. We will be tested with tranquility and fear, with food and hunger, with wealth and poverty, with life and luxury. For this, a Muslim who truly understands his religion profoundly and comprehensively will prepare himself in all aspects of life. A Muslim will seek to protect his iman and taqwa in facing all challenges in life. A Muslim is wise in balancing the demands of this world and the preparation for the hereafter. Today, the Muslim Ummah still encounter the challenge of poverty and hunger. To be successful and excellent Muslims, how can we overcome such challenges? Indeed, ultimately, all that afflict humankind are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, as human beings, we are asked to strive for the best in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and provided for us to fulfill our needs. In fact, this is also true for every creation of God, where He has provided sustenance for each and every one of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Surah Hud, verse 6, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا, which means, there is no moving creature on earth, but its sustenance depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows the time and place of its habitation and its repository. This is the reality. But why are there cases of poverty and stories of life with extreme difficulties? How can we eradicate poverty and hunger in the community? From the perspective of the capitalist economy, such problems arise when resources and jobs are insufficient to meet an increasing population and needs of people. As an outcome, there are some who will lose out in the process, thus leading to poverty and difficult life for such people. According to Islam, there are additional factors contributing to poverty. First, being unbalanced in dealing with personal, family, and community needs. For example, not managing daily expenses well by way of overspending or underspending. Second, being greedy and excessive by allowing greed to overcome oneself, hence accumulating wealth without contributing it to charity or through paying of zakat. Worse, if such greed leads to taking the rights of others without reason. Third, distribution of assets or wealth in contradiction to the teaching of Islam, or in a weak and sustainable manner. For example, those who are deserving of help and care are not given their due share. Instead, wealth is distributed based on personal interest. Islam places a strong emphasis on human welfare. Every human being deserves a good life, especially a happy one, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, let's look at ways that we can consider to prevent poverty. First, understand our responsibility in properly managing our wealth and assets. As human beings, we are entrusted to manage in the best way. Wealth which Allah has bestowed upon us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, verse 33, وَأَتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتَاكُمْ, which means, and give them something from the wealth which Allah has given to you. According to Imam Ibn Jarir, give them a portion of what Allah has given to you by way of zakah. This shows us that what we own is not entirely for us, nor for our internal use. We are entrusted to manage what we own in accordance with the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, we must work to find nafaqa and sustain our lives. In doing so, we should not be picky and choosy. Do not wait too long in the search for an ideal job, yet leaving our dependent suffering in the process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Talaq, verse 7, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لينفق ذو ساعة من ساعته ومن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما آتاه الله, which means let the man of means spend according to his means, and the man whose resources are restricted, let him spend according to what Allah has given him. Third, work together to help those in need. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "Man yassara ala mu'sirin yassara Allahu alayhi fi dunya wal akhirah," which means whoever relieves his brother from his difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him from his difficulties in this world and the hereafter. Hadith narrated by Muslim. As Muslims, surely we want to be at the forefront in contributing and helping others. The efforts of relief agencies have been of tremendous help to offer hope to the poor in many places, but their work may not have been possible without contributions. Here is where we can help one another and work together to offer kindness and good to this world. The examples of charities in the Holy Quran and the Sunnah in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 110, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa aqimu as-salah wa atu az-zakah, which means, and be steadfast in prayer and regular charity. And also in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 103, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم إن صلواتك سكن لهم والله سميع عليم, which means, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of their goods take alms charity, so that you might purify and sanctify them and pray on their behalf. When the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent one of his companions to call the people of Yemen to Islam, he asked him to tell them the basics of Islam, among which was, and tell them that Allah has made obligatory on them a charity that is taken from the rich and given to the poor, reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Layl, verses 5-11, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى, which means, so he who gives in charity and fears Allah and in all sincerity testifies to the best, we will indeed make smooth for him the path to bless. But he who is a greedy miser and thinks himself self-sufficient and gives the lie to the best, we will indeed make smooth for him the path to misery. Nor will his wealth profit him, which he falls headlong into the hellfire. في سورة آل عمران, verse 92, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون، وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by no means shall you attain righteousness unless you give freely of that which you love. And whatever you give, Allah knows it well. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. One of the most widespread and dangerous problems facing the humanity is that of poverty, hunger and starvation. There is nothing more horrifying than the realization that as we live our happy life here, millions of our fellow human beings live in hunger and face starvation. The majority of the world population today lives in poverty. It is clear that the world system we have set up today is unjust and inhumane. Otherwise, how can we allow this situation to continue with less than 10% of the world population controlling over 90% of the wealth and resources of this earth? Islam revealed to humanity over 1400 years ago, came with the most just and easy solution to the problem of poverty, hunger and starvation in this world. If Islam is implemented in this world today, the problem of poverty, hunger and starvation would be completely eliminated within a year. Revealed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most knowledgeable, wise and just, solves the problem of poverty and hunger through several methods. The obligatory zakat. Islam makes it obligatory on every Muslim to pay a certain tax called zakat on their accumulated wealth. The money collected from this zakat is to be distributed among the poor and needy. The Arabic word zakah means both purification and growth. One of the most important principles of Islam is that all things belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that wealth is therefore held by human being in trust. Our wealth is purified by setting aside a portion of those for those in need. Unlike the pruning of plants, this cutting back balances and encourages new growth in our wealth. Zakat is due on accumulated wealth that has been in the possession of a person for at least 1 year. There are rules on how to pay zakat on each type of possessions, such as gold, animals, crops, shares, and so on. A certain percentage of each type of these possessions is to be paid as zakat. Note that the zakat is taken from excess wealth that a person is accumulating and has had in their possession for over a year. It is not paid on income. Therefore, people who save money, who save nothing after covering their expenses with their income, do not pay zakat. And in fact, may be eligible to receive zakat money from others if their income does not cover all their needs. The zakat is to be distributed among people of the following categories, depending on need. One, the destitute, those who do not have material possessions nor means of livelihood. Number two, the poor, those with insufficient means of livelihood to meet basic needs. Number three, the indebted, those who are in debt and have difficulty repaying it. Number four, stranded travelers. The traveler who does not have enough money to complete their journey. Number five, to free slaves. Zakat money is to be used to purchase slaves and free them. Number six, new Muslims. Those who are new to Islam and require help to integrate themselves into the Muslim community. Number seven, in the bath of Allah. Zakat money can also be spent in the bath of Allah. This can include many things, basically any project that helps Muslims or Islamic causes. Number eight, zakat workers, those whose job it is to collect and redistribute zakat money, get their salaries from the zakat money. How can zakat eliminate poverty and starvation? If Islam was implemented in the world today, starvation would be eliminated from the planet within the first year. The zakat due on agricultural products ranges from 5% to 10% of the produce. There is also zakat due on various types of animals, such as sheep, cows, camels. Imagine if 5% to 10% of all agricultural production in the world, plus the required amounts of animals, are distributed among the hungry and starving people of this world, the problem would be solved immediately. In the system we have today, some nations intentionally spoil a part of their agricultural production in order to maintain higher prices for their produce. Can you see the difference between the system driven by human greed and the Islam, which was imposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious and the most merciful? In addition, Islam can solve the problem of poverty. Consider the zakah due on money. Zakah is due at 2.5% of money that has been in one's possession for over a year. Now consider this simple fact. There are 587 billionaires worldwide with a combined net worth of $1.9 trillion. If these 587 richest people in the world paid zakah, we would have paid $47.5 billion distributed among the poor. This calculation has just considered less than 600 individuals on this earth. What about if everyone contributed to a global zakat fund? Global zakat fund. In the same way, the total world GDP, the summation of gross domestic produce of all countries in the world, was estimated to be 27,357.9 billion dollars. The 2.5% zakah on this would amount to 683.95 billion dollars annually. These are just bold figures to give you idea how much money zakah can generate. This zakat money should not only be distributed for immediate relief to the poor. It can also be given in the form of a small business loans. For example, poor farmers can be given loans for even grants for their zakat money to enable them to purchase the equipment and materials they need to lift them out of poverty. The same can be done for small business owners or for the poor to set up small workshops or factories to lift them out of poverty. Once and for all, within a few years, poverty would be eliminated or at least greatly reduced. The obligatory zakat imposed by Islam can easily solve the problems of poverty and starvation in the world. However, in addition to that, Islam greatly encourages Muslims to give extra charity. For example, the Prophet Muhammad once said that the person who sleeps full while his neighbor sleeps hungry is not a true believer. Islam also always encourages charity in all situations. For example, for the persons who are not able to fast in Ramadan, they are required to feed some poor people for each day they do not fast. And there are many such examples. Hopefully, with such noble efforts, our lives will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah Saba, verse 15, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ, which means a good land and a forgiven Lord. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم وتقبل مني ومنكم تلاوته إنه هو السميع العليم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات, فاستغفروه يا فوز المستغفرين ويا نجاة التائبين. اللهم إنا نسألك الثبات في الأمر والعزيمة على الرشد, ونسألك شكر نعمتك وحسن عبادتك, ونسألك قلوبا سليمة وألسنة صادقة, ونسألك من خير ما تعلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما تعلم, ونستغفرك لما تعلم, أنت علام الغيوب. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته, ولا هما إلا فرجته, ولا كربا إلا نفسته, ولا ضرا إلا كشفته, ولا دينا إلا قضيته, ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح, قد قامت الصلاة, قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر, لا إله إلا الله.